most dangerous thing you'll do is to open the Bible, because it can be interpreted in so many ways, seen in so many ways that are not the truth. And we are totally dependent on God the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to what's going on in the truth. And so let's begin with a word of prayer, committing ourselves to the Spirit to teach. Let's pray. So many in the body of Christ, Heavenly Father, are experiencing and have experienced all through history severe stress, anxiety, and depression. Job, vital victim. And therefore, it continues all the way through history. And yet, Heavenly Father, you have made all provision on why we can have a life totally free of stress and anxiety and depression. We pray that your Spirit will open our eyes, we might see, and our ears, we might hear what you would have us to see and hear. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We're in the midst of looking at why Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression. And one of the things that we have captured into, I monthly got two up here, two right here, comfortable chairs here, and I'll be an usher. We got, so. Now, what we have done in regard to stress and anxiety and depression, one of the things that we have introduced is one of the reasons why Christians will suffer from this. And by the way, remember that this study is not for the non-Christian. I have nothing whatsoever to offer the non-Christian in regard to stress, anxiety, and depression. We have already touched on why that is true, and we'll see it even more so tonight. But the source, one of the primary sources, there are three sources of stress, anxiety, and depression, but one of the ones that we're concentrating on is dealing with Satan's lie. Now, what is Satan's lie? Satan's lie is that my self-worth equals or is made up of my performance, my performance plus others' opinion of me. And this goes all the way through Scripture. This is why preachers preach it. This is why religion flourishes, denominations, movements, some form of performance, not only in regard to one another, but also in regard to God. This is their view of God, that they have to perform for God. It's from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It is from the law. It's all through Scripture. And therefore, preachers can go to the Bible and support it with Scripture. That my self-worth equals my performance plus others' opinion. And we will start building on all of this, this lie, and plus other things we're going to be looking at throughout. Well, this is the way that people develop their self-worth, dealing with that. And this is why you have from Job, it was his three friends, his opinion of them, and they crushed his soul. It was not Satan. It was not God. It was other believers who crushed his soul, caused great depression inside of his soul because of others' opinion, all the way up to Christ's words. How can you believe in me when you seek glory from one another? You care about the opinion of other people. And we're going to be using this a great deal throughout our study and how, therefore, people put their whole lives on performance. And what happens when the performance doesn't add up to what you want? And what's stress, anxiety, and depression come in? Now, playing with that, Satan's main strategy in dealing with this is, and this is sort of the kicker of his strategy is to separate the believer, or separate you from the Scriptures. Here I'll use the expression Word of God, even though you and I both know this Bible is not technically the Word of God. It contains the Word of God, but it contains the words of Satan, contains the words of man. But we'll use that as a general term. That what he wants to do is to keep believers away from studying the Scriptures. But even more important than saying that, what he wants to do is separate you from the Word of God as your basis of reality. What is reality? You might as well start getting used to hearing that word, because we're going to be working on that a great deal. But he wants to keep believers from using the Scriptures as the basis of reality, from studying the Bible, from seeing and believing what God says in His Word about you, and that it is true. So you can believe Satan's lie that your self-worth is made up of your performance in life or and others' opinion of you, or you can believe what God says about you. It's entirely up to you. And God says you are in the beloved, you are worthy, you are worthy to serve, you are already forgiven. There's some wonderful things that we're going to be looking at, what God has already said about you. But it's so easy to the flesh, to other Christians, to Satan, to the world, to get you to believe, no, I'm really not all those wonderful things. I'm this horrible person that committed this sin. I'm this horrible person that failed in this. And so therefore, reality becomes what Satan says instead of what God says you are. And he wants to keep you away from seeing what God says about you, keep you from believing it, and finally keep you from living it. And unfortunately, there are a multitude of believers that think they do not need to study Scripture. And by the way, a multitude of these same believers experience a great deal of stress, anxiety, and depression, or sad, and have that in their life. Great number of believers study the Scriptures and still experience it. And that's what we studied Sunday in regard to. It's not just a matter of knowing the Scripture, it's knowing the truth of the Scripture. Multitude of people know the Bible, know doctrine, know this, know that, but they do not know it in truth. So it's not just a matter of knowing it, but it is knowing it in truth, and Satan is going to do all he can to keep us away from having the truth of Scripture be our reality. His strategy is to keep you thinking that you are that old wretched self who sins and fails, keep you thinking that you are unworthy to be loved of God, deserve to be punished, deserve all the bad things that happen in your life because of things you did or didn't do, and you deserve that from God. Keep you from all of those things. Keep you thinking you're unworthy to be loved of God, and therefore unworthy to serve Him. And his problem is his helpers, coming off of our study in Revelation last night, his helpers, unfortunately, often are other believers, as Job's three friends. So what we have, what we're going to be looking at, is reality versus Satan's lie. This is the great conflict that you and I are going to have in our lives. There are two sources, people, of reality in this world. And you decide which is true for you every day. Which reality you're going to live in. Satan's lie versus what God says about you. You get to decide. I'm going to be dealing with the word reality a great deal. Because if you live in the realm of things on this earth, people, I'm going to show you, you're not living in reality. I know this is the world you can see. I know this is the world you live in, physically. But this is not reality. This is an illusion. And I encourage you, if you haven't had the opportunity, and not because it's spiritual and all that, but it just gives you a feel of what I'm trying to communicate here, the movie A Beautiful Mind. It's so beautiful because you can actually have things in your mind that are not even in the physical world, but they're so real to you that that's where you live. And we, as humans, do this if you live in regard to the earth, that this becomes reality to you. People, this is not reality. Reality is who and what you, who you and I are in Christ. Reality is our spiritual life. That's why in our passage that we're looking at, it says your life is hidden when we get to that point again. But there are two sources of reality in this world that you decide which is going to be reality for you. Satan's lie or what God says about you. Satan's lie, if you choose that one, Satan's lie is based on how you perform in this world and others' opinion of you. or our reality can be what God says. Now, we're going to develop this, and I'll probably be saying it a lot, but each time we'll have it sink into us, what is reality? Well, where most Christians live, and I won't go through the building of it tonight, we'll go through the whole structure and put all of this together, but they live in what we're going to call, and have called, the sin triangle. And sin becomes a big issue. How you live becomes a big issue. How you perform becomes a big issue. Therefore, your vocabulary and reality to you is the justice of God, the law, and works. All of this dealing with your performance. People, this is not reality. This is untrue. Now, how can I say that? Because where we want to live and where reality is over in this triangle, the cross triangle. And if you live here, you're in dealing in the realm of God's love, at the top here, love, grace, faith. This is the reality. You choose what you're going to live in. Most Christians live here, and this is not reality. And this is why they're very big on performance, and why they're very big on the justice of God, and doing, and the law, and works, and sin, and all of this, how they perform, and that's why stress, anxiety, and depression, or a sad life, is their reality. But people, you don't have to do that. You live over here in this realm. This is reality. It's unseen. It is unseen, but this is reality. Now, if Satan is successful in blocking us off from believing and living what God says about us, that who you are in Christ is true, then there is the only one other place to go for reality. There's only one other place to go for your self-worth, people. A sense of significance. A sense of worth. And that's in Satan's lie. Performance. You're enslaved to the perpetual lie that your self-worth is based on your performance, how you feel about yourself, others' opinion of you. You're a slave to that. That will be reality to you. If you're lying to cut you off from the truth of what God says about you, then you're enslaved to that as your reality. And since we will fail, you're going to fail over here, and the first thing that's going to happen, you're right back into the enslavement of stress, anxiety, and depression, performance. Parents criticize. A great deal we're going to be looking at is why a lot of people have trouble, why a lot of Christians, I'm talking to Christians, why adult Christians have so much trouble loving and being loved. I'm going to show you how all of this stuff goes all the way back. The things that happened in childhood. I used to teach against all that kind of stuff because I was taught incorrectly. But we're going to see from Scripture how all these things happen and what starts happening and why so many people grow up and they're never going to be able to love and they're never going to be able to be loved. It's all in this performance stuff and control. Parents criticize. You're a failure. You're never going to amount to anything any good. You're a slut. Fathers calling their daughters that. You're a slut. You're a loser. I know preachers that go around calling people losers. Do this kind of thing. You failed. You sinned. Divorce. Bankruptcy. Never seem to succeed. And so therefore things start happening. And what we're going to be studying is that then you come down when you're in this area here. You've got your choice. You can fight or you can flight. You can fight or you can run. Fight or flight. And we're going to look at how people do that even in the Scriptures. What starts to happen when we do this kind of thing. Satan's plan is to keep you away from the truth of what God says about you, people. From believing it. I'm not talking about knowing Bible doctrine. I'm talking about believing it where you live it every day. You live it in your homes, at work, your social life, every area of your being. Now let's pick up where we left off in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3:1. I had no intention of staying this long here, but it's just a very good starting point. We started this on New Year's Eve, and I planned on it just being two classes, but here we are at three or four. Don't tell me how many. Okay. Now, Colossians chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 1. Since, therefore, you have been raised together with Christ. Now, we've already looked how earlier in Colossians, you have died with Christ. You've been buried with Christ. Now, you are raised together with Christ. People, this is who and what you are. You want to know who you are? You have been raised with Christ. And because of that, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, comma, seated at the right hand of God. And we studied why all of that in the translation. Now, people, how do you keep seeking? Well, you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. How we seek is our daily decisions, the goals, the desires. Keep seeking the things above. Okay, what's the point here? Now, we didn't do this before, so we're adding to this. Keep seeking the things above. People, this is opposed to seeking the things on earth. And if you're going to keep seeking the things above, you're not going to keep seeking the things on earth. What are the things on earth? What are the things on earth that is important to us? People, the things that are on earth that are important to our study is performance. That's the whole concept of the earth. Performance. So you keep seeking the things on earth, the heart of it is going to be your performance, others' opinion. Do and do. On earth, your worth is your contribution to society. Your work, your performance, what you add, that's earth. Things of the earth, set your sight on things of the earth, or things above, set your sight on things below. Let's get an idea. Your worth is your money, which we're studying the myth of money on Sunday. But all believers who choose to live according to the earth, he has such things that performance as money becomes an issue. Success. Family. Yeah, family, people. I'm very sorry for Christians who have allowed preachers and organizations to convince them that their self-worth is their marriage or their family. That's my self-worth, is my family, my marriage, our children. So your self-worth is in your family, is it? Okay, then now what happens when the family fails? When it's broken? Your family is no more. What happened to your self-worth? Well, it goes to the toilet. And preachers and Christians let you know it. Your whole self-worth is this family. We live in this delusion. My whole self-worth. Let's put them both on and deal with them both almost together. My marriage. Well, my whole marriage is this man. My whole marriage is this woman. And then there's a divorce or death. Death or divorce. Now what happens to you? Let's take divorce. What happens? My self-worth gone. I'm no good. They've left me. I can't use me. How horrible this is. And I'm just going to talk about the family at the same time. My children. My family, my children are my whole self-worth. So you lose them. And what happens to your self-worth goes down the toilet. And now you're under stress about your life and probably go into depression. Why? Because this was your whole self-worth. Your performance in this family, your performance in this marriage, who you're married to, your identification, working, others' opinion of you. So now it's ended in divorce. Over. People are going to talk about you. People, I'm not talking about building up and praising divorce. I'm talking about your self-worth. Believing what God says about you, not what man says about you. Your family. You lose your children. Man or woman. Sometimes a woman will lose her children. Oh, wow. Mother loses her children. Boy, she must be bad. And all the Christians talk about it. Because it's her self-worth. It's your family. Your self-worth is your marriage. Is that your self-worth? Is that what God says your self-worth is? No. It's not what God says in His Word. It's not your self-worth. Your self-worth is your relationship with Christ. Who you are in Christ. People don't make... You make your children... Let's go to family. You make your children your whole life. And then they don't make the honor roll. Not only do they not make the honor roll, they're on drugs. They don't make good grades. They flunk out. Let's just jump to it. They're no good. So where's your self-worth now? Self-worth gone. My self-worth was my whole children. My whole self-worth in the community. My whole self-worth in my own mind was my children. And now look. Look where they are. Boy, what does that say about me? Everybody's talking about me now. So there it goes. And there you go into stress, anxiety. God can't use me. I'm not worthy. All this kind of thing. People, you're either going to believe what God says about you or you're not. And I'm not talking about what you can write down in a little blue book. In Christ, I am this. In Christ, I am that. But boy, when it comes to life, who I really am is my performance. You're a hypocrite. We've got to deal with what do I sense and where do I get my self-worth? Where do I receive my self-worth? And so many people have the wrong thing. They have things of Satan's lies and they have things related to the earth. They have money, marriage, success, whatever it might be that you put as the core of all of this. The core of your self-worth, the core of your performance, your beauty, your accomplishment. Some kind of performance. That's my self-worth. And you stand before my fellow man. A la Adam Smith's capitalism. Everybody contributes. That's your self-worth. What is your worth to community? And so we develop it. It's things of the earth, people. You can seek the things of the earth if you want. And I'm telling you right now, you're headed for stress, anxiety, and depression. You've always got to be in control. And then when things start coming to you, happening in your life, you wonder where stress is coming from and anxiety and depression and all the different ways that we deal with it. There are a lot of different ways, and we'll come to that later. Or you can choose to believe what God says about you. You can believe what God says about you is true, and that really is my self-worth. People, this is why religion is so popular among unbelievers and religious unbelievers and religious Christians. What is religion? Religion is based, people, religion is based on performance. That's why it's so popular and so powerful, even among Christians and churches. We've studied our four circles. So here are our four circles. Let's take a look at them. It's been a while. What are they based on? Performance. Circle number one, moral righteousness, moral purity. Righteous, being righteous. Morality. What's the second one? Knowledge of Bible doctrine. What's the third? Emotional, charismatic experience. What's the fourth? Service of God. Living your life to serve God. They're all based on performance, and that's why people run to them. Here's my self-worth before God. Here's why God is going to like me. Here's why I'm a Christian. So you join the group. All of us are drawn to one of these areas in the religious or in that spiritual realm of our being. So it's just real easy for you to be moral. So you'll come here and everybody thinks you're wonderful. Opinion of others. And you're going to perform to do better. Not for God. And not in the power of the Spirit. But because this is what's going to get you praise, acceptance. Over here, knowledge. Everybody here in this circle, they're impressed with knowledge. So you're going to learn more and more and more and more and more. And you're so full of knowledge you don't even have a clue as to what truth is. Not even a clue. Over here, charismatic experience, emotionalism. You're able to do that. So you go here, and everybody thinks you're a wonderful Christian. Or service of God. All these others are wrong. It's, are you serving God? So you go out and work from morning to night at the sacrifice of your own family. You serve God. And you perform. It's performance. It's performance. That's why people have trouble understanding James. They see it as a performance book. It's not what it's about, but we'll come to that later. So you can decide if you want to get trapped in Satan's lie, in the performance trap, or just walk and believe and live what God says you are. Who and what God says you are and what He is doing as far as your life is concerned. But we work so hard to perform, and this is going to give rise to sad or stress, anxiety, and depression when we fail. What happens when we fail? I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. You fail in any of these. You fail in the moral, and boy, I just fail once, and they're all on you. You don't have the knowledge that everyone has. Can't get the experience. Don't serve. And everybody's pointing their finger at you in their circle and talking about you in this church because you're not performing, and you care so much about others' opinion. So keep seeking the things above. Or, people, you're going to seek the things of earth. One or the other. They don't mix. They're two entirely different places. Two entirely different ways of living. Keep seeking the things above, or you're going to seek the things on earth for your worthiness. And therefore, stress and depression, anxiety are inevitable. So you see, people, you either seek things above or you seek things on earth. One or the other. Which is reality to you? Which is going to give you reality as far as you're concerned? Look at verse 2, which we've already studied. Set your mind. Set your mind. Present active imperative of phroneo. Comes from the root mind. Means to think. To have a mindset. To have a mindset. The activity of this word involves the mind plus will. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. Those things that are eternal, spiritual, versus the things that are physical and material that can be seen. People, why do you think we call it walking by faith? Why do you think we call it walking by faith? Because you can't see. People, if you live in the performance world and your self-worth is your performance, everybody can see. It's walking by sight. It's walking by the flesh. You don't need to walk by faith then. We walk by faith. That's why later on in this verse, verse 4 or verse 3, is what's it going to say? Your life's hidden. Why is it hidden? You walk by faith. Your performance is not in the realm of the world and not in the realm of the earth. Okay, here it is again. Set your thinking on things above, or set your thinking on the things of the earth. So many Christians set their thinking on things on earth and going to go right into stress, anxiety, and depression. Set their thinking on the things where they live, the school for their children, work in the church. That's their goal. That's their goal. See, they set your mind, set your goal, set your self-worth, set what is valuable. And Christians go into a great deal of stress getting their schools, getting their children into the right school, doing this, working in the church. All these things, performance. Oh, by the way, you're performing for God because that's your view of God. Preachers have taught you that. God wants you to perform, and that's your view of God. Your view of God is that I have to perform for God. I have to perform so God will have a good opinion of me. Look what you've done now to the very being of God. Because that's your view of God. God is the kind of God who wants my performance. And therefore, what happens with our relationship with God? We become so depressed before God. I'm so stressed out before God. I just can't do everything God wants me to do. People, this is not reality, because it's not the reality of who God is. Remember what we studied in the Gospel of John, chapter 6? Worship Him, must worship Him in spirit and truth. What is truth? What is truth there? Truth means the truth of who and what God is. In context. In context. You stay with it. I used to teach it incorrectly. In truth, in Bible truth and doctrine. No, it means in the truth of who and what God is. Because so many people worship Him not in who and what He is. That's what's going on in context. We have to worship God according to who and what God is. That means you've got to know who and what God is. Got to understand what God is looking for. And so many Christians think what He's looking for is my performance. My worship is my performance. God's going to be impressed. How often I worship? How often I do this? How often I do that? No, He's not. That's not what kind of God He is, people. He's not into performance. You have destroyed and distorted your view of God because you're in Satan's lie, because you're in the performance trap. It's not reality. It's an illusion. It's an illusion, people. You live in an illusion. And you're allowing that illusion to bring great stress and anxiety and depression and all the problems of your life. It's an illusion. If you see the movie The Beautiful Mind, it'll make sense, but he's living in a world that's an illusion. And boy, all the stuff that it causes on his soul and on his life, on his marriage. But I want us to be able to take that and not have it something fabricated in the mind, but have it reality of things on earth. And we think this is reality. We think, well, everything on earth, this is an illusion. This is not reality. The more you walk with me here, people, not only will we work on stress, anxiety, and depression and a life free of it, you're going to clearly understand why Paul said all things are lawful for me. These things that are related to the earth are an illusion. They're importance. They're not important. So things that are eternal, those things related in the spiritual realm, those are the things that are of great issue. Set your thinking. Another way of understanding this is set your goal. Set your self-worth on things above, not on things on the earth. That's where you set your thinking. And it's already been established for you, as we're going to see. What gives you worth, people, in your own mind, in your own soul, day in and day out? I'm talking about day in and day out. I'm talking about in your marriage when your husband runs you down, when your wife runs you down, when your parents run their children down, and your boss runs you down. Is that your self-worth? When you fail in life, is that your self-worth? Things related to earth? You don't make the money? You've got to move to a lesser house because of finances? And boy, you all the stress, depression it brings on people, people bring on themselves because they've got to make some kind of change in this lousy physical world, and I'm all depressed about it because everybody's got an opinion about what's happening to me. And all the things that we do to our souls. All the pressure we put on it, we don't even need to because it's an illusion. It's not even reality. It's not reality, people. Reality is what God thinks of you. Reality is who you are in Christ. That's the reality eternally. That's the reality right now. So set your mind, another way of looking at it, set your goals, set your self-worth on the things above, not on earth. People, if you set your self-worth on your performance, look what happens. You're enslaved to the earth. The moment you set your self-worth on the earth, you're enslaved to the things on the earth. You set your self-worth in performance, you're enslaved to this earth with all of its standards, all of its demands, the law, and everything that's involved with the earth, and therefore sadness is going to come into your life. And by sadness, I mean stress, anxiety, and depression. Or we can develop a habit, and I'm going to show you that's where we're going. We're going to develop a habit of changing our thought process, changing our mindset. Develop a habit of setting your self-worth on what God says you are, who you are in Christ, what God does. People, God doesn't care where you live. God doesn't care how much money you make. God doesn't care whether your children are homeschooled, private school, public school. What God cares about, are they learning how to walk by faith in the Spirit? Are they learning how to pray in the power of the Spirit? That's what He's looking at. We got these phony things and we put so much pressure on ourselves as parents. We're not living in this spiritual realm. Oh, I want to do this for God. If they go to private school or a home school, they'll be smarter. They'll be moral. They'll be this. They'll be that. And all the pressure we put on ourselves to do it. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. I'm just saying when we do all that we can do, put our whole life in mortgage because we've got to keep our kids in private school or something. That's our self-worth. So your child grows up and wins a Nobel Prize, and not one day in his life did he ever walk by faith in the Spirit of God. You think that's wonderful? Before man on earth, his performance is great. But not for 1 hour. Not 1 hour did he log actually walking by faith in the Spirit. Just trusting the Spirit of the living God. Is that what you want? Take a kid that doesn't even go to school. I can teach that kid how to walk by faith in the Spirit and love one another as Christ loved. That child will grow up without stress, anxiety, and depression. Teach them that reality is the spiritual, the things above, not the things related to the earth. But we set this whole course, people, because we're of this earth. We're in this earth. Not only we're in this earth. And we've accepted the standards. We've accepted the performance trap of the things on the earth. That's why Colossians is so important. You can set your goals and your self-worth on the spiritual, the things that are above, what God says about you, or on earth, what the world says about you, what others say about you. So you can do your own thinking, deciding where you want to live. So if your self-worth is in what God says, then people, then your self-worth is taken care of because your worth is who you are in Christ, not your performance. So where do you get your goals? Where do you get the goal that you're going to set your evaluation of your life, whether your life is worthy or not, essential or not? Things above, what God does, or on earth? And if we do that, people, and here's the problem, it's not going to be any praise from the world, may not even get much money in the world. Your life's hidden. Look at verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now we'll come take a look at all of that. That's hard to live that way. It's so hard because my life is not hidden, is it? Boy, everybody knows us. They see us, talk about us. You fail and everybody's going to talk. You succeed, everybody's going to talk. All this kind of stuff. Now we stay with what God says. For you have died. Now this is what God says about you. The you that was there from your physical birth has died. And the Greek aorist indicative of the verb here means to die. So it's already taken place. It's already taken place. This is what God says about you. Do you believe it? Do you believe what God says about you is true? People, this is the first step, one of the first steps in having a life absent of stress, anxiety, and depression is believing what God says about you is true. What does it mean that you have died? People, it means, and we'll be studying this along the way in our next study, in our next section of where I want to take you on the study, where we want to go in the Scriptures, but just jumping to the concept here, in your physical birth, here's your physical birth, and in our physical birth, we picked up the flesh nature, and it's from this that we're going to experience stress, anxiety, and depression. And then you come to your second birth, who you are in Christ. This person died. You want to talk about resurrection? I'll tell you, some of the greatest resurrectors on planet Earth, born again believers who resurrect the dead person, the dead flesh. Because that's what we do. Every time you decide to go back into the flesh, you say, boy, I'm going to resurrect that dead person. Even though it brings me stress, anxiety, depression, causes me to be enslaved to the standards and the demands of the world, the performance trap and all the rest of it, I feel very comfortable in Him. And why is that true, people? Because it's been a great habit. We've developed a habit of this old person. We feel pretty comfortable with Him. We've learned a lot of things about Him. We've learned how to handle Him. We've learned how to be in control with Him. We're going to develop over here a new habit, and that's all. Walking in the Spirit by faith is a habit. We'll see how this goes. But right now, this person is dead. Look what it says, for you have died. Do you believe what Christ says about you? Oh, but your friends are going to tell you, no, no, no. And Satan's going to tell you in various ways. Preachers are going to tell you, oh, no, you're not that person in Christ. You're that horrible person that just sinned. You're that person that has a weakness. You're that person that's no good. And then you're going to start believing, that's who I really am. That's how you're going to start living. And that's where you're going to start coming into stress. You've got to have this problem inside your soul. You've got to have stressed out and worry about it. This is what God says about you. We have to decide if we believe it or not. So what does it mean to be dead? The old self, the old nature is dead. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is so important. Not only in the absence of stress, anxiety, and depression, but also in walking by faith. Okay, let's first look at the verb. Perfect passive indicative. Of krypto. Means to hide. I put it on a board if there was any reason for it, but there isn't. It means to hide, and that's what the Greek word means. It means to conceal. To hide and to conceal. Perfect tense places emphasis on the present result of a past action. All right, what am I saying? Oh, that's going on now. Your life is hidden. Your life is hidden. And what does that do when it's a perfect passive? It means that it's the present result. I'll put it on the board for you so you can see this. It's the present result of a past action. Now, what's the past action in context? You died. You died. That person died. The present result of that is your life is now hidden. People, don't try to perform before the world. You'll lose. You're not in the world anymore. You're born from above. Not born again. The Greek is born from above. This is not where you're from. Your life's hidden. the world's not going to understand it. They don't have the same values of performance, the same understanding, the same anything, people. And you're going to look different. You forgive somebody seven times in one day of the same sin, your friends are going to call you a fool after about the fourth, fifth time. They're taking you for a sucker. You forgive somebody 70 times seven, the world isn't going to understand that. This whole thing of secret has been very important throughout the study of Scripture. We saw this in our study of Isaiah. I speak in secret, I do not speak in secret. Why did he speak in parables? To make it simple so everybody could understand? No, to keep it a secret. Just the opposite of what most people think. It tells you that in Matthew. He spoke in parables to keep it a secret. People, your life's a secret. It's hidden. And they'll never see it. Whole thing in understanding the true study of Samson, what Samson's about, being the most Christ-like figure in the Bible. Why is he in the greatest chapter of the Bible? Hebrews chapter 11. You start studying all the things about Samson and what's very important about Samson. All those, what, riddles. What are riddles? The Hebrew parables. All these type of things that are going on. It's hidden. What's your secret? What's your secret? What's your secret, Samson? What's the secret to your strength? They should be asking you, what's your secret to your strength, Christian? How can you love that way? But we don't demonstrate that we have a secret because we live according to the world and the performance of the world. We're not different. But we're supposed to be, and our life will be hidden at that point. It will be hidden from the world. So, what does God say about you? That you have died. And therefore, since you have died, your life is now hidden. Do you believe what God says about you or not? Why are you looking for the opinions of others, even other Christians? Why are you looking for their opinion, their approval, their praise? Your life is hidden, people. Your life is hidden. It's not related to the earth. It's related to the things above. If I've died, how can my life be hidden? You have been raised. See that verse 1. You have been raised up to a new life in Christ. It's the new life in Christ that is hidden. So the past action, you died, present result, your new life, the real you. This, people, do you understand? This is now reality. This is the real you. The old self, this is not reality to you anymore. It was reality while you were an unbeliever, but it's no longer reality for you. Now your reality is the spiritual, the things above, the things that are hidden to the eye. They're hidden. But it's hard to live that way. You don't get the praise. You don't get the performance awards. Your life is hidden. This is a very powerful, very important to our whole study. One of the reasons that it's so difficult to walk and live by faith in the Spirit is because we can't see it. We do not live by sight or walk by sight. We walk by faith. One of the greatest causes of stress, anxiety, and depression, listen, one of the greatest causes and things that bring about stress, anxiety, and depression in your life are things you can see. Other people, other people's opinion, your performance in life, performance at work, performance in general. When you walk by faith, there's no stress, anxiety, and depression. How are you living that you don't have that? It looks like you don't care about anything, and that's not it at all. This is not a case of rah, rah. It's because we live in a whole other realm of reality. These things just aren't important. They're just not important. And I'm seeking for other examples, but until I find one, I'm going to just be redundant because it makes its point to me it communicates. When I was stationed in Germany, the things of Germany just didn't matter. If we could relate that to being the earth, I was on the earth there, but things that happened in Germany just did not matter. Who won the mayor? Who did this? Who won that game? Who won the soccer game? Who did this? Who did that? How much money people had? Drive and look at the big, beautiful houses. It never, ever, ever even tickled my soul. These beautiful mansions and castles and money and things. It never once bothered me that all I could wear was drab green. Green, green, green. Boots every day, green boots, green and boots, green and boots. Once in a while you put on your Class A's. Just didn't matter. There was no stress about it. No stress. I didn't have designer sheets. No stress. I didn't have a closet. No stress. I didn't have a fine car sitting out there. No anxiety because I didn't have a nice menu in the kitchen. Going there, oh, we were just great things. We had something to eat. Generally pretty good. Why would you do that? Why would you not care about, do you not care about all those other things? It wasn't where I lived. Where I lived was the United States Army. That was my reality. Now people, us here on this earth, things that happen on this earth just are not our reality. Our reality is the spiritual, the things that are set above. So many Christians who live by faith, who were judged and maligned and so on by Christians, suffer unfairly, attacked. But the truth is, it's going to be revealed. It will be revealed in truth. Let's take a look at verse 4 now. It's going to be revealed. Don't lose sight of this fact that your life will not be hidden forever. It's hidden now. But look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, not the things of this earth, people, where is He? Verse 2, verse 1, seated above. He's above, seated at the right hand of God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Don't look for it here. Oh, I want to win the lottery. I want money. I want this. I want that. I want. Stressed out when I don't have it. Stressed out when it's taken away. Stressed out in depression when people don't like me. Like Job's three friends took him right down the way into a total depression. Crushed his soul in his words. Crushed his soul. You want to avoid all of that? The solution is not running up to Colorado and find you some little place on top of a mountain and hide. Run to some monastery and live inside of it. That's not the solution. The solution is to walk by faith and set your sight on the things that are eternal. Set what your self-worth and your value on the things that are above. So our position in the past, who we were in the past and what happened to us, we died with Christ. We're buried with Christ. We're raised with Christ. Our position relative to the present, it is hidden. It is hidden. Keep on seeking the things above. You'll not experience the stress, anxiety, and depression in the Spirit-filled life because the fruit of the Spirit, people, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Joy. You understand that? It's love. Joy. Why no jealousy? Because love is not jealous. No anger. No bitterness. Where's our anger off the things related to the earth? We're not getting our way. Things aren't going our way. We can't control everybody. We can't get them to do what we want, so we become angry. Not getting what we deserve, what we want, all these kinds of things. Now, in the present, your life is hidden. Keep seeking the things above. Our position relative to the future, it'll be revealed. So our position relative to the past, we died with Christ, buried with Him, and raised again with Him in a new life. Position relative to the present life, it is hidden. Okay, now, the source of stress, anxiety, and depression. Okay, let's take a look. We're into a new development now. We're at least getting kicked off tonight. The source, and I was hoping we would. The source of stress, anxiety, and depression. First thing we're going to need to know about ourselves, the people, is this. And this is very clear. I cannot make you a better person. If your life has experienced stress, anxiety, depression, weaknesses, failures, people don't have the right opinion if you want them to have of you, I cannot make you a better person. And I want to tell you something. God is not going to make you a better person either. Just get that in your mind. God is not going to make you a better person. God is not going to improve you. God is not going to make you a nicer person. This is not a study on controlling your temper, how to develop techniques of doing that, how to handle your jealousy. This is not going to be that kind of study. How to divert your anger, all the techniques developed by psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors to improve man, to make you a better person. That'll work with the unbeliever, but that will not work for us. God does not make you a better person. What God does is make you a new creation. And what I want to do is coach you. I'm going to use that word, and you'll see why later. Not teach you. I want to coach you to live in that new person. It's a choice. People's stress is a choice. You choose to be stressed. You choose to be depressed. You choose anxiety in your life. That's a choice. You choose if you're going to live in the new man or the old man. Now, what I want to look at are five things that I found that the Bible says, and people, get this in your mind, that the Bible says about you, what God says about you. The first thing that we're going to look at, and listen to me now, is that you, the flesh, is continually being corrupted. Now, think about that with me a minute. Why would you try to improve what is continually being corrupted? It's like you're in a boat and there's a big hole in the bottom and you got a teaspoon and you're flipping water out. And it's just gushing in on the bottom. Let's open the scriptures, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look for one thing in this verse because we've got other reasons to come back to it later. But Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 22. That, in reference to your former manner of life. Former to what? Former to when you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Former to when you became a new spiritual creation. People, you have to believe this and live this. This is not doctrine. This is something you want to live. Before you became a new spiritual creation. How did we live in that former life? By the flesh. According to the desires of the flesh. According to the earth. According to the performance standard of the earth. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. You lay aside the old self. It's the aorist tense. It's already been done. When was it done? It was done at the cross. The moment you put your faith in Christ, it was done. Now watch with me the pattern, because this is what I want to coach you to do. It was done. It was laid aside. The aorist tense here. It was laid aside the moment you believed in Jesus Christ. So by faith, it was laid aside. Now, we're going to study it in the present tense later, where it's a mandate to lay aside, put off that old man. So, thought this is a great sermon. Put off the old man! How are you going to do that? I got a clue. I know how it was laid off permanently, positionally, forever. All I did was trust him. And it happened. So, we want to lay it off. We've gotten back in the old flesh. We want to get out of it. This is what I want to coach you to do. Lay it off. Lay it off. How do we do that? Go back to trusting. Go back to our faith. This time, the object of faith. Here, God sent His Son for that positional laying off of the old man, positionally being in Him. And now, the object of our faith, He has sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is seated. Jesus Christ is in heaven, comma, seated at the right hand of God. But He sent us His Spirit. So we walk by faith in the Spirit. That's how we do it. But that's jumping ahead of our study. But just to take a look at it now, then in reference to your former manner of life, this is who and what you and I were. You lay aside the old self. Now look at it. Which is being, this is going on now, corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Boy, there's so much here. But let's just get it down now, what I don't want you to miss. The first thing we learn about ourselves, about our old nature, is it is continually being corrupted. Let's take a person that accepts Christ as Savior at the age 10 and lives to be 90. And let's have fun with this person. We can do that. In economics, you set up your little classroom societies and all. We can do that with this person. Let's say that in that lifetime, say he lived to be 90, 80 years. Let's just have fun and say 40 full years he walked in the power of the Spirit. Well, let me tell you something. His soul, his flesh self, is more corrupted at the age of 90 than it was at the age of 10 when he accepted Christ as Savior. People, I got news for you. If you want to stay in the flesh, you're just getting worse. You're not getting better. And that's why Christians go to counselors. Oh, help me get over anger. Help me get over depression. Help me get over bitterness. Help me get through the divorce. Help me, and let's work on this man. And, you know, we'll study all of this later, but it all starts with your understanding of man and what we're dealing with, and that's why we have to start here. Let's say that my philosophy is, for an example, that man is a product of the evolutionary biological process of history, and you're not really responsible. It's all by a biological evolutionary thing. So all I'm going to do is just work with you and train you and reprogram you and all of this. Let's say I start off with the idea that man basically innately is good. So now what I'm going to develop my whole view on is making and bringing out the good in you. We start with whatever our foundation is, our view of man is, how we're going to work on this. And people, everybody, there's so many conflicts. They all have different things to explain by bitterness, jealousy, anger, all of these things. And here's my solution. Here's my solution. Or here's this school of thought and that school of thought. And what preachers want to do is somehow incorporate what the world has to say with things in the Bible, and it'll never work. Because this is not for the unbeliever. I don't have anything here for the unbeliever. This is only for the believer. Because you see, people, only you are going to be this new creature in Christ. And we're not going to work on the old man. I'm not going to make you a better person. And neither is God. Why? Start asking that. Why is that true? Why is that true? Because your old self is continually being corrupted. So why try to improve it? Why try to make you a better person? God does not make you a better person, and neither am I. The flesh nature of every one of us is being corrupted. If we try to work on you, we're going to take one step forward and five steps backwards. We're going to get into greater depression, greater anxiety about ourselves. Most Christian counselors try hard to probe and work on control, different techniques to overcome things like anger and jealousy and all of these things. People, I'm going to tell you right now, God doesn't do that. Is that clear? He doesn't do that. He is not going to work on techniques to overcome anger, jealousy, bitterness, the seven-headed dragon in our soul, not the seven-headed dragon in Scripture, but using that analogy. We have a seven-headed dragon in our soul that we're going to study. And that's what's going to give rise. It's going to come up out of the sea of our soul as stress, anxiety, and depression as we continue our study. But what I want you to see is God doesn't do that. What God is going to do is give you a whole new nature. God isn't going to work on you being jealous. You know what God is going to do? He's going to take that new man that you are when you will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to pour into that new man spiritual love, and spiritual love is not jealous, and that is why you're not jealous. Not because he's done anything to make you a better person, people. Not because he's come up with any kind of trick or any kind of self-discipline. And you're going to work real hard on not being jealous. You don't have to work. You don't have to perform. All you have to do, just trust him. Let him perform, people. You get it? Your self-worth is his performance, not yours. It's his performance. He will pour in love, and love is not jealous. That's what he does. He doesn't work on you all the problems of why you're a jealous person. Let's figure out why you're jealous. Let's figure out about this and that. He just says, you're jealous. You're corrupt. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to make you a new creation. I'm going to pour in love. And if you walk in that love, it's not jealous. So guess what? There goes the stress and the depression related to rejection, related to jealousy, related to all the things in that whole category of study. Look how simple. You know why people don't like the spirit-filled life by faith? Why they don't like this? It's too simple. No, my problem is too complex. I got to find me a preacher. I got to find me a doctor who has a big word for what I have. I got to have a preacher that's got whole big deals that I have to learn and go through and all of this to really work on it, because my problem is real serious. I have a real big problem. It's going to take a lot of work. No, it doesn't. He made it very simple. He made it very simple. He does all the performance. He does all the work. He performs. Your self-worth is his performance. Your self-worth is his view, his opinion of you. And his opinion of you, as we're going to see, is you are in the beloved. You are in Christ. You are saved eternally. You are forgiven of your sins, past, present, and future. Don't wear them around and let them be things of depression. Don't let Christians do that to you. That's not your self-worth. Things related to the earth are not your self-worth, people. It's the things that are eternal. So this is what God has given to us. So he's not going to make us a better person. And I hope you get that down before we leave tonight. He's not going to make you a better person. He's not going to probe. He's not going to work on that old nature. Being corrupted. Let's just finish this one section and then we'll close. It's the present participle. And the reason I mention that, only not to impress you, but to point out that what the verb tells us is this is continually going on. The present participle means this is continually going on. Dear people, while you're sleeping, while you're awake, all the time, it's just being more and more corrupted. The Greek means to corrupt, to destroy, to reduce to evil. The one I like is pine, to pine, to waste, to spoil, to ruin, to defile, bring to a worst state of being, to subject to corruption. Now, do you hear what I just said? This is what happens to you when you choose to walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. Did you get it? This is you and me. When we make the choice to stay in the flesh and not make that click, I don't want to be here, I want to be over here, I want a new habit, we're going to develop a new habit of walking in the Spirit. I'll show you how to develop that habit. But when we don't do it, here's what's going on. To corrupt, to destroy, to reduce to evil, to pine, to waste, to spoil, to ruin, to defile, to bring to a worse state of being, to subject to corruptness, and there you are in some counselor's office trying to counter all of that and be good. And work on your anger. And look what's going on while you're trying to do it. Ain't going to work. This is what's going on in every one of us, every day, all the time, when we walk by the flesh. Look quickly with me, if you will, please. We're almost through. Romans 7:24. Let me just get through this section. Romans 7:24. Now, chapter 7, where's Paul? Don't look yet. What is chapter 7? Chapter 7 is in this section. Chapter 5 on begins Paul talking about believers. 1 through 4, unbelievers. Chapter 5, following believers. Chapter 7, here's Paul dealing with what we're talking about. I'm trying so hard to be so good. I now understand that Jesus is what it's about, and I'm born again, I'm saved, and though I want to be good, because that's what a good Christian does, I want to be good, I want to work at it, I want to do good, I want all of this, and I work so hard and so hard, and I work, and all the struggles and depression and anxiety and stress that's on him, and look what he comes down to in verse 24. Wretched man that I am. You know the worst thing that could happen to you as a believer in Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what the worst thing is. To live in the flesh and be master of it. to be so good at your system, your list, whether it's the moral righteousness, the knowledge of doctrine, emotional experience or service, to be so good at controlling your anger, to be so strong in the flesh, be John Wayne Christian in the flesh, that it takes God maybe your whole lifetime and maybe never, if you'll see, oh wretched man that I am. I need to walk by faith in you. I can't do this on my own. Oh wretched man that I am. This is where Paul comes to. Look what he says then. Who will set me free? Look what he says. From the body of this death. He's come to the conclusion you and I are coming to. It's just corrupt. It's dead. I can't do anything in it. And of course, chapter 8 is the answer. And what's chapter 8? The Spirit-filled life. It's the greatest chapter. It's one of the three greatest chapters in the New Testament on the Spirit-filled life. Romans chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 5. Three great chapters on the Spirit-filled life. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free? And what does the Bible say? Christ has set us free positionally, but that's not enough. Who's going to set me free experientially? Who's going to set me free of depression and stress and anxiety and trying to do all of this stuff? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He's going to set you free, people. Can you live a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression? Yes, if your Lord is the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He'll set you free. What is the most amazing thing is why Christians choose to stay in the flesh and experience depression and stress and anxiety. Why we like it. Why we won't just click over to what? The Spirit of their life and freedom in Christ. What is it free? Free of all of this stuff. Free of the performance trap. Free of Satan's lie. Free of stress. Free of anxiety. Free of depression. The flesh nature is worse today than it was when the moment you accepted Christ as Savior. Well, we'll start here next Wednesday evening and continue our study on stress, anxiety, being who you are in Christ. But first of all, we got to find out where all of this comes from. Then we'll slowly develop this whole process. Let's close in a word of prayer. Any questions? Okay. Heavenly Father, Father, we stand amazed at what you did at the cross. You saved us forever. We know that. But what greater grace you have given to us in setting us free in time, just as you did at the cross. Just as we did not have to perform to be saved, we do not perform to live the Christian life. And in living the Christian life, we simply allow you to do all the work in our Christian life through your Spirit in us. It boggles our mind, and we challenge it, Heavenly Father, to think that, is it really possible to live a day without stress, without anxiety, without being depressed? Is it possible to live the circumstances of our life without experiencing that? Is that even possible? Certainly it's not possible. And you very quietly whisper to us, yes, it is. Yes, it is possible. If we'll just live. The power of your Spirit and the new man that you've created us to be and not live in the flesh person. If we will set our self-worth according to the things that are above, not on the things below. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are. In your Son's precious name. Amen.